I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Western Carolina University political scientist, Dr. Chris Cooper. Chris, as always, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, happy to be here, Matt.
So we got a lot of results to go over from yesterday in North Carolina. Some surprising results out here in the West, too. So we'll start with that. We have a GOP runoff in the 11th congressional primary. Not a surprise that we got a runoff, but maybe the candidates we're going to see in this runoff are. So tell us about this. Linda Bennett against Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah, this is a really interesting race. I think one of the most interesting races really in the country. So we had this huge field. Again, this is, you know, over a quarter of the people running for Congress in North Carolina were in this one district. And I think the odds-on favorites here were Linda Bennett, who is getting the support, of course, from Mark Meadows. And really Jim Davis, who is the one person in this field with a lot of elected experience. He represents North Carolina Senate District 50. I think he's somebody we thought would do well. And he did do well, but he did not do quite as well as a guy named Madison Cawthorn, this political newcomer who is 24 years old, I believe. So he turns 25 before he would be in office, which, of course, is the minimum age you can be in Congress. And we have this 30% runoff rule in North Carolina. What that means is you have to get a more than 30% of the vote to avoid a second primary or a runoff. And so we're now going to have, for certain, a second primary in the 11th congressional district, the only one in the state for Congress.
What's interesting about this is you have the political newcomer who barely meets the age threshold to be in Congress versus someone who would be the establishment for Western North Carolina. But as a reminder, Mark Meadows was certainly not an establishment Republican because he was a member of the Freedom Caucus, and Linda Bennett has said she will join it if elected on the first day in D.C. that she's in office. So set this race up for us now between these two.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting contrast. I guess the similarity to start with, neither one really has political experience. And so although Bennett is sort of perceived as the establishment candidate, and I think he is in a lot of ways, we've got to remember she's never been in this kind of elected office before. She actually looks a lot like Mark Meadows did when he kind of came out of nowhere. He had to win in a runoff his first time he ran for office and, of course, eventually ended up becoming a very prominent multi-term member of Congress. So she's tied really to this establishment wing of the party. But Mark Meadows' decision and the timing of his decision in particular, I think, created some rifts within the Republican Party. And so we're seeing that. So whereas under different circumstances, it's possible Bennett would be seen as kind of the choice of all the establishment, there's definitely some factions within the Republican Party that are forming and I think really growing over the last few months because, again, of Meadows' decision and the perception that Meadows wanted to get Bennett in office by timing his decision when he did. Cawthorn, again, young, really no elected experience, did a fairly good job with fundraising, although Bennett clearly got a lot more money coming in from PACs and from super PACs, again, kind of reinforcing the idea that she's the one with these big national connections.
Something else to point out, Cawthorn did win in two counties that would be very important for a Republican to win in or anyone to win in the 11th district. He won the vote in Henderson County and in Buncombe County. Those are the two most populous and the two that have the most Republican voters. So how does he translate that into a victory in the runoff?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. His home turf is kind of fortunate for him. So each of the big three did well in their home turf. So Bennett is from Haywood County. She did well in Haywood and kind of surrounding. Jim Davis is from Macon County. He did well in Macon and the far western counties. And then Cawthorn did well in Henderson and in Buncombe, sort of his home counties. And luckily for him, the populous counties. And so we tend to think about Buncombe as being this Democratic stronghold. But if a Republican candidate can pull the Republican voters from these populous counties, that could be a really good sign for him going forward. The other question, of course, is what happens in these far western counties that Davis did well in that now, of course, he's not going to be competing in going forward.
Democratic side, Mo Davis won very easily, maybe not that big of a surprise. But one thing that did stand out to me, and we'll put this number in context, 111,000 ballots were cast in the Democratic primary in the 11th congressional district. 90,000 votes were cast in the Republican side of the district. Put that number into context for us.
Yeah. So in North Carolina, we have a semi-open primary system where Democrats have to vote in the Democratic primary if they're going to vote, Republicans in the Republican primary. Unaffiliated voters, however, get to choose which primary they want to vote in. In 2008, those unaffiliated voters went for the Democratic primary, and in every election since then, they have gone for the Republican primary. until now. And so in the 11th Congressional District, as well as statewide, unaffiliated voters chose the Democratic primary in much greater numbers than the Republican primary and in much greater numbers than they have previously. Question, of course, is why? Is this a big shift in voting patterns? Is this a shift in allegiance? My gut is it probably is a sign of the competitive nature of the presidential primary on the Democratic side as opposed to the Republican side. So we know the presidency is the thing that drives folks to come out and vote. And if that was the case, then perhaps if you were an unaffiliated, you would choose the more competitive of these two primaries. I think it also reinforces, though, that these unaffiliated voters aren't all shadow partisans who always vote in the same party. They are movable, they're a little bit less tied to a party, and that can be the deciding factor in an election.
To take that out a little further, yeah. Not just from the West, but again, with a Democratic presidential primary and no real competitive Republican primary in North Carolina, does that affect how many people on the Republican side may have come out yesterday to vote?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, people are motivated to vote by the top of the ticket more so than anything else. It doesn't mean that people don't care bottom of the ticket, but it is the presidential primary that tends to drive turnout. And so we would expect to see probably a little bit lower Republican turnout statewide because of that in the primary. At the same time, clearly in the 11th, so we've talked about, this was a very competitive Republican primary on the 11th Congressional District. And I think that is a big reason why we had such high turnout in the 11th compared to most of the rest of the state.
Again, looking statewide, Joe Biden did very well in North Carolina. The race was called for him before we even really saw the official vote tallies, and he did very strong. Just thoughts on that. And Bernie Sanders did win some counties. And again, they were in the West, but they were much less than he won in 2016.
That's right. So in 2016, Bernie Sanders won 18 counties in the state of North Carolina, and 15 of those were in the West. This time he won four counties. So from 18 down to four counties, and all of those were in the West. So his base is still clearly in the West, but that base is shrinking substantially over what it was in 2016. And so I think what this means, clearly, South Carolina gave a big bounce. It was very close, both in geographic proximity, in demographics, and in timing to the North Carolina primary. And I think that made a big difference.
So going to the fall right now, we have most of our matchups set up, except for us out here in the West, for Congress. So what does this look like going forward to the fall now?
Yeah. Exactly. So, I think we'll obviously see what happens in the presidential. We don't know what's going to happen there. We also have a lieutenant governor's race that's going to go to runoff that is still out there. That runoff is on the Democratic side, as opposed to the Republican side for the 11th Congressional District. We've got a really interesting governor's race going on. So both gubernatorial candidates kind of, made it very easily through their primary. So we're going to have Dan Forrest against Roy Cooper. Certainly the state budget's going to come up a lot in that. We've also got some fascinating state House and state Senate races across the state too. So I'm expecting fairly high turnout in 2020, and I'm expecting some pretty hard-fought battles. And I think there's not a clear winner in a lot of these races. The U.S. Senate, of course, would be the other kind of big office that we haven't talked about. And that's looking like another very interesting race. So we've got Cal Cunningham won fairly handily in his primary. He's the Democrat, and he's, of course, going to be running against incumbent Republican Tom Tillis, who is, at least by some measures, the least popular senator in the entire country. So both sides kind of think this is an up-for-grabs battle.
So what can people get ready for in the fall? We have about exactly 8 months to go. How much focus is going to be on North Carolina?
I think North Carolina is going to be the focus of a lot of this election. I think we are we're a purple state. We are a state that is really a must-win for both parties. You can see that because the Republican convention is going to be in our state. They don't tend to put those in states they're going to win or lose handily. They tend to put them in these swing states. I think we've got a competitive gubernatorial race, a competitive Senate race, perhaps the most competitive Senate race in the country, and we matter for the president. So if you add all those things up, what do you get out of it? You get ads, you get a lot of money, and you get really saturation of politics for the next few months.
One thing we will see in the fall is round five out in the West between Joe Sam Queen, who's now the incumbent, and Republican Mike Clamplett, who was briefly the incumbent in a state House seat out there that covers Swain, Jackson, and part of Haywood counties. Tell us what you think of this.
Yeah, so this was an interesting primary, I thought, going in. So we had on the Republican side Mike Clampett against a guy named Ron Mao. Mao is a Jackson County commissioner, seemed like the kind of person who might be able to knock off Mike Clampett. But Mike Clampett won by a lot. So I think I thought this would be a close one. I was surprised how much Clampett won by. So again, this is setting up the fifth time that we're going to have Joe Sam Queen against Mike Clampett. So for folks who've been around a long time, this probably reminds you of the 1980s in our 11th congressional district race, where we had Bill Hinden and Jim Clark going against each other for multiple cycles. We're seeing the same thing in the 119.
And that is one of the few competitive districts, even within Alva State, the way the lines are currently drawn. This was very important in 2018 for Democrats getting rid of the supermajorities in the House of Representatives, which is proven out to be very, very important given all that's going on. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. Why is this a competitive district?
Yeah, this is an extremely competitive district, and this is not one that was touched by the redistricting lawsuit. So this is one that has been competitive and stays competitive. It is a rural district, doesn't tend to get quite as much attention statewide, frankly, as I think it should. This is a district that could go either way. You have some more liberal voters in Jackson County, although it's certainly not a liberal stronghold. You've also got some more conservative strongholds in this district. It's a really interesting district that includes a lot of different kinds of people. You've got obviously a large university there. And I think what that all adds up to is kind of a naturally competitive, naturally interesting district with two folks who have run and two folks who have won and run before.
All right, Dr. Chris Cooper, as always, thank you for coming in and chatting with us.
Yeah, enjoyed it, Matt.